This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, lovely Wednesday here. We're halfway through the work week.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful day compared to what yesterday was.
Yes.
And lots of stuff to get to here with the show. Had a chance to talk to Deontay Johnson this morning. Had a chance to talk to Vince Williams this morning.
Players are more and more accessible now for you guys, huh? I mean, a couple.
They have to make some guys accessible
sure.
to us every day.
I mean, they're at the facility, and right.
They're Coach at the facility.
Tomorrow,
we're
right?
not. You know,
yeah, right, right.
Yeah, we'll get Mike Tomlin tomorrow. Of course, yesterday we talked to Ben Roethlisberger for the mm-hmm. first time. Deontay Johnson saying today when we talked to him that Roethlisberger was cutting it loose yesterday.
Huh.
And I said the accuracy was there. He had a lot of zip on the ball.
Yeah.
Again, nothing but positive news on that front for the Steelers.
And when I did hear that little clip, I immediately thought, Deontay, how do you know when Ben's cutting it loose? You've never.
He
did
got.
Ever, did your buddies tell you
last year? Yeah.
They had camped together, and
He got more time with Roethlisberger last year than James Washington had gotten the year before.
Noticeably more, right?
Noticeably more. Yeah. And the reason for that was, when James Washington was a rookie, the Steelers had Antonio Brown and
Juju.
Year,
right?
Yeah. So they had a depth chart that was pretty, stacked.
Yeah, right. Hayward Bay, I guess Coates was on that team at that point.
No Coates, but you still had Switzer.
They had some guys that were playing.
They had guys that were ahead of him on a depth chart. Johnson didn't have as many roadblocks in front of him, so therefore he got more playing time with Roethlisberger last year.
I also wonder, and they'd probably never admit it, but I wonder if the coaching staff said, we kind of screwed up with James. Maybe we should have got him with Ben more.
Probably so,
because there was a disconnect there for
absolutely.
A while.
Absolutely. When Washington got into the lineup, eventually worked his way into the lineup when they had to put him in there, he and Ben just weren't on the same page.
Right, right.
And that was an issue.
And it's hard to get on the same page.
Yeah.
Week 10 and when you're trying to prepare for teams and stuff. Yeah,
so
right.
they did make sure that there was a noticeable change in that last year, that Deontay Johnson did get more playing time with Ben. Now, early in the season, that wasn't the case. He didn't play a lot early in the season because he missed, a healthy portion of the off-season stuff. He missed some time in training camp, but he had some nagging issues. Had an off-season surgery to repair a sports hernia.
I'd say he wasn't even 100% the whole season.
No.
Like, that gets overlooked. Right, that's really encouraging.
Says he's 100% now, and we'll see where he's at once things get rolling here. But, I think everybody has high hopes for him and what he can do with Roethlisberger this year. Likewise with Vince Williams, when we talked to Keith Butler last week, he said, look, when our defense screwed something up last year, it was largely because of the communication in the secondary, at the secondary level.
Which isn't uncommon. But
uncommon.
Right. But needs correcting, sure.
And he said, one of the things that we love about Vince is that he's a great communicator on the field.
Yeah, we talked a little about this yesterday.
Yeah. And so, I think that's one of the reasons why Mark Barron isn't here anymore. I don't know. It's tough. He was put in a tough situation.
Kind of reading between the lines a little bit, huh?
You take a guy. Yes, he's a veteran guy, but you bring him in the offseason. You put him out there and say, okay, you're going to be the guy who's on the field the majority of the time
while we break in the rookie.
Yeah, so you're going to be our nickel. You're going to be the nickel and dime linebacker. So when you're the nickel linebacker, okay, you got somebody else out there with you. But in this case, it was Devin Bush for the most of the time.
More often than not,
yeah.
Right.
When you're the dime linebacker, you're the only linebacker out there.
Right, right.
And so he was making the play calls in a lot of those situations. And quite frankly, you know, maybe didn't know the playbook.
Or communicate it properly or speak loudly enough. Or, I mean, things happen quick and you're in a loud stadium sometimes, always.
Yeah.
No, not this year. And, you know, it's hard to get it out of your mouth. Who knows? But whatever,
right.
If there's an issue there, it needs corrected, obviously.
So, you know, he's no longer here. Vince Williams is back. And I'm just wondering what they're going to do in terms of, you know, Devin Bush is going to be on the field, if not 100% of the time, 98% of the time.
Unless he taps out.
Right.
Yeah, right, if he needs a blow or whatever.
But Vince Williams is going to be out there in the base, which he was last year. Mm-hmm. He was out there more after Stephon Tuitt went down as a more or less an extra pass rusher in that nickel defense.
Right, right.
They did drop him on occasion, but certainly, you know, they rushed him as much as anything. You know, I just, you know, that looks like it's going to be what they do again this year. And, you know, that gives you, if you're going to do that, I guess you have the ability to drop Watt out, or you can drop Dupree out. I don't love that.
Yeah. I mean, people forget, though. I mean, they're still a pretty blitz-happy team. You know, they're not as reliant on it as they used to be, but they still bring five. I think they were like eighth most or something like that in the league.
Which typically they were at the top of that list in previous
years.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think Bush is going to be a better and better blitzer. We know Vince already is an excellent blitzer. And I don't have the numbers in front of me on this, but clearly the snaps that Bud and Watt drop have dropped.
I think last year was like they were both less than 10%.
And usually it's like 30?
Yeah, the previous year they were in the high teens.
Okay.
The year before that they were both at least in the 20s. I think Dupree was in the 20s, and actually Watt was, I think, in the 30% range. So they've relied less and less on that because they've gotten better guys at the secondary level to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, and Vince was asked this today, you know, do you feel like you can cover like you need to? Because, you know, we've never sat down in a game planning meeting, and then they've never said, Vince, we don't want you covering anybody.
Right, I'm sure that's true. I mean, I'm sure everybody recognizes it that that's not his best asset.
I mean, I was told in training camp last year that they thought they were a better defense if Vince Williams played better, fewer snaps, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But that was coming off of a year where they played John Bostic and Vince Williams
primary.
So you had two guys out there who were, you know, I think Vince Williams
not fleet of foot,
right?
Yeah,
and so I think. Perhaps Vince Williams got labeled a bit unfairly.
Lumped in with the other guy.
With John Bostic.
Right,
when you had two of those guys. Well, now if you just have one out there.
And they both had the problem of neither was Ryan Shazier.
Right. And that's the, So if you're measuring those guys against that level.
You want the Shazier type who's special,
then,
you know?
Yeah, that's not going to work, which is why they went out and got Mark Barron and they draft Devin Bush. Now they've got two of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they found that last year, at times, the run defense suffered because of it.
Yeah. Let's talk about that some more, too, because let's say you communicate 15% better than you did last year because Williams is on the field, but he doesn't get to quite as many ball carriers on the edge or gets beaten coverage 10% more of the time or whatever. You know, I mean, like, there's going to be a little bit of a give and take there.
Yeah.
I still think you take it because communication problems are the worst.
Those are the ones where you end up having guys running down the middle of the field.
And then the two dudes looking at each other with their hands in the air, you know? Also, you're not going to have as much of a presence at nose tackle. So they'll have people called NTs, but they're not going to be Hargrave in terms of holding the point. So maybe the thumper in the middle is a little more valuable because the people in front of them aren't as beefy.
Yeah. The other thing that he said, look, we could, because he was asked specifically about the run defense, and it's something that we've talked about a ton.
Mm-hmm.
He said, look, we're going to have Ben Roethlisberger back. We're not going to play as many snaps on defense this year. Teams aren't going to get into 4-minute situations against us and just be able to run the football.
True.
And so, you know, I think they're not going to get as worn down. They're not going to be out there, you know, playing 70 plus snaps in a game.
No, you would hope not.
You would think not.
Yeah,
with Roethlisberger out there, and so their offense will possess the football more as well.
Of course, that has a great trickle down effect. And the other thing, you know, like the Browns are a really good example of this. It used to be fullbacks were a dying breed, but we see the Niners and the Patriots. Some of these highly successful offenses are employing a fullback that's not Dan Kreider, but, you know, can catch the ball and do a lot of things. Well, the Browns traded for a fullback. The Ravens have a big 265-pound guy that they throw in there from time to time. You're going to see fullback-based offenses in the run game. Vince is the guy I want taking on the fullback in the hole.
You know, he takes on the fullback in the hole, and Bush comes in and makes the tackle.
Right, and all of a sudden there's not an extra gap that these fullbacks create. You know, he plugs that up really well. I also, while you were talking there, I pulled up the Steelers' numbers last year. They were in base 29% of the time,
yes,
which is right in the middle of the league. That's 15.
I could have told you these numbers if you'd asked.
You know them off the top of your head?
29% in the base. What is it, 51%
wow,
in
you're
the
good.
And I believe 19% or 18%.
18.
Yeah, 18% in the dime. You write this stuff enough times.
I knew about where they were, but I wanted to be
precise. I have a pretty good memory with that stuff. If I write that's something impressive. Once, I usually remember it.
See, and where that's well done. UPJ, no dummies come out of there. But what I liked about that as opposed to 2 years ago, if you remember 2 years ago, they were like second or third in dime, second and third in base, and therefore you're like last in nickel.
Right.
And
it's a nickel league.
It's a nickel league, right. I mean, if they're in base, you're throwing. They're in dime, they're running. Like, it was way too much of a tell. We talk about tells on offense a lot.
It goes back to that Chargers game 2 years ago.
The Keenan Allen game.
Yeah, the Keenan Allen game, where any time the Steelers were in their dime, the Chargers ran the football.
Mm-hmm.
Any time that they had their base on the field, the Chargers threw the football.
Right.
And people were going, "Whoop! Keith Butler's a moron! What's he doing? Why does he have a linebacker on the wide receiver?
Because he doesn't have the right checkers."
They did, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
you're playing chess, and the other team still has all of their back row pieces, and you've got a bunch of pawns.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You better be real creative, and even creativity is not going to get it done. And that's why you trade up for Bush, because even if he's not a huge success in year one, just the fact that you can be middle of the road in all three of those has a huge trickle-down effect, as opposed to, we know we can get these guys in their heavy and split out a tight end, and then we got them.
And, oh, by the way, you've got three or four queens on your defense that –
oh yeah, oh,
can move
way.
In any right. direction.
They keep
you know?
Getting better too.
Yeah,
right.
They can do everything. You know, anything on the field. I mean, mm-hmm. you can use Minka again if they want this year. They can drop Minka Fitzpatrick down in the box.
Yeah, right.
Because they now have another free safety who can step in there.
Absolutely.
If they want to play Terrell Edmunds down in the box, they can do that. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Sutton's not a top notch guy, but he does a lot of things too. I mean, a lot of these guys do. It's a good
and then
point.
You add, you know, Cam Hayward and Stephon Tua to the equation. Mm-hmm. You add, you know, Devin Bush getting better. I think his coverage skills are only.
I think
his man skills were pretty good last year. I think he should take a jump in the zone play this year. You would expect that.
And, recognition stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
So, I mean, I think this defense is only going to get better.
I agree. And even Cam and Tuitt, you know, their style isn't a three technique. It isn't an edge guy. I mean, they could line up in just about any gap, too, and be as equally as potent.
Or stand up, and you're like, mm-hmm. okay, what's this guy doing here?
Yeah.
We've seen the Steelers do that as well, move them around to different spots and even flip-flop sides, do all kinds of different stuff just to get the right matchups.
And I wrote that safety article. I ranked the top 25 safeties, and we talked about it yesterday. And it overwhelmed me when I start going through the league how many of them, and many of them are really young, they do so much. You know, and we saw Seattle just spend big money.
You've seen the Steelers put an emphasis on that the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you draft Terrell Edmunds.
Even Morgan Burnett.
In the first round in 2018. And you get from that same draft the next year, you trade for Minka Fitzpatrick. You've got two young athletic safeties who don't look like the safeties of old.
No, they don't.
I mean, these guys are you know, if you see Terrell Edmunds walk into a room, you're like, wow, that's
like a first round pick.
That looks like a first round pick. I mean, I know he hasn't played quite to that level yet, but he's still going into year three.
The traits are there.
The traits are definitely there. Mm-hmm. I think if he can turn that corner and start making some plays on the football, I think he's a strong tackler.
Yeah, I do too.
He's got range.
He can really run.
He can run. Yeah. You saw their tight end numbers get much better last year, and he was a big part of that. And you know, if he can mesh with Minka a little bit more, I think they could really have something there in the back end.
I think he'll get better as a blitzer as well. I don't know that deep coverage will ever be his
know if that's ever going to work for him. But
it'll probably get better. You know, I mean,
if you've got Minka, you don't need him to be the deep cover guy.
No, exactly. And like when I was doing that article, there was three or four teams, you know, Minnesota and Buffalo really come to mind, that had really good pairings. And,
yeah.
and I wouldn't put the Steelers pairing on that level yet, although Minka was my number two guy. But a lot of them are interchangeable now, too.
Right.
You know, like they can do so much. Like the Bills are almost like two carbon copies of one another out there. And that really disguises coverage, and it's really hard on quarterbacks.
Yeah, absolutely. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. Our friend Cynthia Freeland put together a list of the top, well, she ranked all 32 quarterback rooms.
Yeah.
For NFL.com. We're going to take a look at that when we come back. We'll do that right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, our friend Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network and NFL.com, she's their analytics person.
I forget what her exact title is, but yeah.
She deals with the analytics side of it. And, of course, friend of the show, has joined us at the NFL Scouting Combine.
Work, yeah.
Does good work for them. And she went through and ranked all 32 NFL teams, their quarterback rooms. Mm-hmm. Now, when we say quarterback rooms, that is something that you have to look at and consider here.
Yeah, it's funny.
You're not just looking at the starting quarterback.
I just scanned her list quickly, and I think she puts a fair amount of weight on the number two guy.
Yes.
Like, for example, Cleveland's higher than I'd have them, but I'm like, well, but Case Keenum's
Case
a really
Keenum
good
gives
backup.
You, yeah, it gives you a good backup, and that matters.
And I don't think she took into account going forward.
Right.
You know, like
it's
Miami's
this year,
low,
right now.
Right, how good are you right this minute?
Yeah.
Which, as long as you know the parameters, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that. I mean, I think that's how you have to look at mm-hmm. how good are you, because it's a training camp look. It's how good are you in training camp
sure.
right now as we speak?
How well are you prepared for the 2020
yeah.
season is basically.
And her number 32 team, we'll go from top to, or bottom
okay.
to top. Her number 32 team is Jacksonville, and I can't disagree with that, because while you have Gardner Minshew there, mm-hmm. and there's a little bit of a – there's – he started, you know, what, 10 games or whatever it was last year. The
it's
backup
not like first overall pick.
The, know, yeah, right? He's not a first overall pick. The backup situation is not great.
No, so the backup doesn't help at all
yeah.
compared to some of the other bottom
pickers. And so Jacksonville, I think, is a legit. If they aren't 32, they're definitely in that.
They're certainly
in
that tier
yeah.
for sure. And I can't argue too much with it. I thought Minshew played quite well and, frankly, had the best rookie season of anyone last year. But do I trust him? I don't know about that.
Yeah. At 31 is Denver.
They
I might have
in.
Them last year.
They might have them last too.
Yeah.
They don't. I would have signed an Andy.
They've
Dalton,
got no right. backup plan
they,
at all.
Right, and they are in the deep end with Drew Locke, and he was fine. It really reminds me, but even a smaller sample size. Remember how Mayfield finished his rookie year?
Yeah.
And everyone thought he's
ooh,
the next
this is
coming.
It, yeah.
And eight games against bad defenses when nobody in games
with
don't
no
matter.
Pressure. Yeah.
Right. And Locke kind of did the same thing. And, again, he threw for, like, 204 yards a game. Like, okay, you know, I wouldn't have been on all in on him. I'm not saying he's a bust.
Yeah, but certainly needs to prove himself. At 30 is Miami, and you would think that Miami would be a little bit higher than some of these teams just ahead of them based on they've got Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's not.
He's coming off a very good year.
Yeah, but he is still Ryan Fitzpatrick and can turn into a pumpkin at any time.
Yes, and his track record's so strong of being less than what he was last year.
Yeah.
I tend to think that's what he'll do. And two, it could be great, but it's kind of like the Burrow situation. I mean, you're asking a lot out of a rookie this year.
It also wouldn't surprise me if the first month of the season Ryan Fitzpatrick comes out against, again, they're going to be playing a bunch of base
they open against the Patriots too.
Base defenses yeah. that aren't going to be able to mm-hmm. necessarily scheme things up a whole lot. And he's a veteran guy.
Well, yeah.
He's been around for a while, so he'll do well early mm-hmm. in the season, and then the wheels will come off.
They'll be 1-5, and
yeah.
everyone will call for
and they'll
Tua,
go for
and
Tua.
It'll be, yeah. right, be the right move.
Yeah. 29 is Chicago.
They might be last for me.
At least they've
the
got two.
Really
they've
strong
they've got two guys, one way or the other. They've got a backup who started a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's the beauty of them. Their number two is as good as anyone. Their one's about as bad as anyone.
Yeah. I mean, they've got two number twos, essentially.
Exactly. Two high-end twos.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I get why you'd put him a little ahead of, like,
Jackson. I would have them ahead of number 28, though, Washington.
Washington might be last, too. They're in that conversation.
Yeah, I don't love that situation. No. I didn't love Haskins coming out.
I thought he finished the year pretty well, but I'm a big believer that it takes a village to raise a quarterback, and that village
they don't
is
have a village
on fire.
Yeah.
You know? I wonder, though, does Alex Smith cross her mind in that equation? He's been cleared.
He's been cleared medically. I can't imagine he comes back and plays.
That's what I think, but it sounds like he's...
I mean, saw that they released a video of everything that like what it looked like, and it was just gruesome.
Right.
Gruesome. I mean,
good for him. I'm glad. I'm rooting for him.
He should be happy he's just up and walking around
these
days.
Part of me hopes he doesn't come back, too. Yeah. Be smart, Alex.
Yeah. 27 is Carolina. I know everybody was high on Teddy Bridgewater in the offseason. They gave him a little bit of money, but... Mm-hmm. He's Teddy Bridgewater.
He's a system guy.
Yeah.
I think he might be better for fantasy this year than the real world. I don't think he's the answer.
I mean, really, if you look at what he did when he was the quarterback in New Orleans last year, you talk about Drew Lock averaging 200 yards a game.
Right.
That was what Teddy Bridgewater did.
Right, for four games or something.
Yeah.
So he becomes a multimillionaire. Yeah. I mean, but I do think he's better than Trubisky, Haskins, Fitzpatrick. Yeah, I think he's properly ranked.
26 is the Giants, who, of course, the Steelers open with.
Yeah, I'm not a Jones believer. I mean, he has done some good things. He's kind of a roller coaster right now.
He had some Blake Bortles to him last year.
Yeah.
Where they're getting behind, and he's just throwing, and puts up good numbers. And, Danny Dimes.
Right.
He stinks.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
He stinks.
He puts the ball in harm's way a lot. Yeah. Not a real good pocket presence guy.
25 is the Bengals.
I don't know where I'd put them, but I guess
I think they should be lower because they have no backup plan. I like Joe Burrow as a
Finley's horrible.
Yeah, I like Joe Burrow as a prospect.
Sure,
but he's never thrown an NFL pass.
Mm-hmm.
The passes that I've seen their backup throw weren't NFL passes.
NFL passes.
I think they should be lower than 25.
So you're saying like Carolina, you'd put ahead of them.
Absolutely. I think Bridgewater's.
At least you know what he has,
at least
right.
You know what you got there. I think I'd put Carolina behind them. I would put Miami. I'd put them behind Miami, even.
You gotta think that there'll be way more mental errors too in Cincinnati at the quarterback position.
I mean, I get it. We're talking about the last. We're talking about 25 here. So we're talking about the last eight quarterback situations. But when you look at 24, the Rams are right ahead of them.
She's rougher on the Rams than I would be.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not my favorite quarterback, but. There's some names we'll come to here.
Let's put it this way. She's got at the Rams at 24. She's got the 49ers at 13. And I don't think there's a ton of difference between Jimmy Garoppolo and Jared Goff.
I don't either. And we haven't talked about Indy, Chargers. You know, I mean, I'll take Goff over those guys. Even the next one coming up here in a minute, the Raiders, I'll take Goff over Carr. But they're on the same tier with Jimmy and Cousins and those guys. But – I think you're being pretty rough on Jared Goff.
23 is the Patriots.
I guess it's a little bit of an unknown, but I think Cam Newton's a good player.
Well, we haven't seen him be a good player in about 2 years, and so there's definitely some problems there. I might have them a little bit higher than 23, but not much higher. I don't know about the backup situation in terms of
Stidham's
an unknown commodity.
They'd be a very hard team to rank, so I don't have a problem putting them there. Rankings are hard.
22 is the Raiders.
That's like exactly where they should be.
Yeah.
And I guess Mariota carries a little weight, too. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I mean, but not much weight,
Carr
given how he's played the last couple years.
Right. That doesn't mean Carr plus Mariota is better than Goff.
No, I don't think so either.
Right, right.
Yeah. 21 is the Jets.
I'm still a Darnold believer.
Yeah.
I heard something along
But their backup situation last year was
junk. It's as bad as it gets, right. I don't know that he's played like that, but I think he will.
20 is the Chargers.
We kind of both seem like we're okay with Taylor.
I think Taylor's okay, is fine, and I think that's probably right around where they belong.
Yeah. I mean, Herbert's obviously enticing. I'm not the biggest fan. I wouldn't take him at six, but he was a six-player pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I'd probably be lower on the Chargers, but okay.
19 is the Titans.
I think Tannehill's real.
Okay.
Not as real as last year, though.
No, I think he kind of caught everybody by surprise a little bit. I think with an offseason to kind of study him a little bit more, maybe they get in a little bit higher than that, but 19s.
Yeah.
They still want to run the football for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we often talk about like Lamar's percentage of touchdown throws were unsustainable. Well, Tannehill's, some of his numbers like that aren't going
He's not going to average 10 yards a pass attempt this year.
No, right.
18 is the Cardinals.
Okay. I mean, Kyler did a lot of good things, but he's still learning.
Yeah.
He's very much still learning.
Yeah. 17 is the Lions.
I would have them way higher.
I can't think of who the backup is, though.
Junk.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that hurts. Yeah. That hurts you a little bit.
Because I was asked to do quarterback ranks, and off the top of my head, I had Stafford as like my 7th best quarterback in the league. I think he's really good.
Okay. 16's the Eagles.
I guess you add Jalen Hurd to the mix, but Wentz was like my 6th best player in the quarterback in the league. I would have them much higher.
15's the Bills. I would have both of those teams ahead of the Bills.
Bills would be like 22 to me.
Yeah, I think they should be down lower.
Mm-hmm.
14's the Vikings.
Okay.
Which is what Kirk Cousins is. He's a league average quarterback.
And it's making funny, a ton Niners of money. Are right next to them,
yeah.
too.
The Niners know? Are the same thing.
I think.
In fact, I would have the Vikings ahead of the Niners.
I think Cousins is a better year.
I think Cousins is a better quarterback than Garoppolo.
I do, too. And they would both be right in the middle of the league, which I guess they basically are here.
Yeah. 12 is the Browns. We talked about that. I mean, the backup situation is
super strong.
Is good, yeah.
I don't think Baker – I mean, Baker was like the 25th best quarterback in the league to me last year.
Yeah.
I think he's better than that. I don't think he's a flop. I'd take him over Allen.
Yes.
But they would not be 12 for me.
The Falcons at 11.
I'm cool with that. You know, like I did a top 10 quarterback.
The backup situation. I mean, they still have Matt Schaub as backup.
It's the worst in the league.
I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there were people in Pittsburgh because Matt Schaub went out and had a 300-yard game last year in his one start in the last 5 years who said, well, the Steelers, they need a guy like Matt Schaub. No, they don't. Matt Schaub is trash.
Yeah, they do have a guy like Matt Schaub. His name's Matt Canada. I mean, Schaub's a quarterback coach.
That's what he is right now, making
many million dollars to do it.
Then you have at 10 the Steelers,
which I would have them a little higher because I'm looking at the Colts next. Going Rivers versus Ben to me isn't close.
Well, I think you have the Colts at 9 because of Brissett as the backup.
They do have some, and they drafted a kid, Easton too. I mean, I get that part.
They have a nice depth chart at quarterback.
Right.
I don't know that they have a better starter than.
Most of these teams.
You're not going to tell me that at this point in his career, for example, he's better than...
I don't even think he's better than Cousins.
He's not better than Matt Ryan.
No.
He's not better than, as you mentioned...
Stafford, Wentz.
Yeah, those guys, no.
No. I mean, again, even the...
But Brissett carries some weight there.
I guess, and Easton too. But a year from now, they may have none.
Right.
I mean, not that that's... She's not equating that, but I'd rather the Steelers room. I mean, I'd rather Brissett than Mason Rudolph. But Rudolph at least has played.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the Steelers' depth chart, all of them have started games.
Right, true.
Their four guys have all started games in the NFL. Now, it's not always been great, but you're not going to be in a situation this year like they were last year where you had two guys making their first career starts in the season.
Absolutely.
That's not going to happen this year.
The backup room got a lot better than a year ago.
Yeah.
So, but she doesn't know where Ben is physically either.
Right.
I mean, Ben's she doesn't talk about the Steelers every day and watch them throw yesterday.
At 8 is the Texans.
I'd be higher. I think he's a stud.
I don't know that their backup situation is great. Well, they got McCarron?
I think.
Yeah.
But it's below average.
Yeah. 7's the Cowboys.
Maybe Andy Dalton is their backup.
I think I'd have that one higher.
I would, too.
Yeah. In fact, I would definitely have that higher than number 6, the Packers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dalton versus Love?
Yeah.
I think Dak's better than Rodgers.
At this point, yeah. I hate
to say that, but
I think Rodgers is getting the tip of the cap because he's still Aaron Rodgers.
I guess
but
Brady is at 5, too.
Brady at 5, too, is because their backup situation is garbage.
It's like the worst in the league.
Yeah.
They'd be like 15th.
I think they should be at least 10.
Yeah. They'd be really low for me.
Yeah. I think that's way overranking them. Mm-hmm. 4 is the Seahawks.
See, I think he's just tied for the best quarterback in the league. But the backup, they don't care about backups up there at all.
No, he never misses a game. As remarkable as it is, he never misses any time, given the way he runs around like a chicken with his head cut off.
And then this next team's the total opposite. Like, no one's invested in backup quarterbacks like the Saints lately.
Yeah.
Not that, I guess Winston's not making huge money, but they gave Teddy big money. They keep Taysom Hill around, who they seem to, you know, they use. I mean, he plays.
Yeah, 3 is the Saints.
I'd trade the Seahawks room for, or the Saints room for the Seahawks room.
Yes.
Because one of them...
I would trade the Saints room for the Cowboys.
I would, too.
I think the Cowboys have a better room, yeah.
I still have hope for Winston, though.
2 is the Ravens.
Yeah. I guess RG3 is a good enough backup.
Yeah. I'm watching him play. He wasn't better in that game than Mason Rudolph last year.
He didn't have to do much, either.
He didn't have to do much. Mm-hmm. They ran the football. If you looked at his numbers from that game, people say, well, the Steelers lost to RG3 last year. He threw for 100 yards in that game. Yeah. Come on. He didn't beat the Steelers last year. Duck Hodges beat the Steelers last year in that game.
No, I hear you there.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a little qualms with number one. Like, everyone in the world would put the Chiefs number one. And right. I'm not saying I wouldn't. But what's the difference between them and Seattle? Neither one's a backup. And to me, those two are equal.
The Chiefs won games with their backup, though, last year.
Correct me, maybe you know.
Matt Moore was the... Yeah.
I thought he's unemployed.
He may be.
Because they've spent so much money elsewhere. It doesn't matter that, but it's not that big a deal. I mean, I'm picking nits here in that I think Wilson and Mahomes are equal players, and neither team has a strong backup.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that they have a super strong situation there.
They did win without him.
They got Chad Henne, too.
He's been around.
Yeah, he's at least started some games in the league. And, you know, so I don't hate it.
No. Everyone in the world will put the Chiefs
first. And they've got... The great thing about them is it's almost like the Steelers in the mid-2010s where you have great skill players. So even if the quarterback has to come in, Mike Vick can come in off the street
and win
a game for you because
Tyreek gets behind somebody.
You got Le'Veon Bell to carry the football. You just throw the ball to Antonio Brown, you're going to win.
And I'm not at all cutting on Mahomes. But if you close your eyes and say – let's pretend Russell Wilson was a Chief the last 2 years.
Oh, no doubt. It
would be pretty nice.
No doubt.
It would be pretty nice.
Throw a Dak Prescott on that team.
Absolutely. I mean, all these guys would get a bump in that situation.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what
Denver's
trying to do.
With, by the way, Andy Reid calling the plays, and he's considered one of the great, you know.
Oh, yeah. Scheme those guys up great. But, I mean, you look at, like, the Raiders in Denver, they're trying to mimic that in that division now, too. Let's go get Jerry Jeudy and, you know, all these guys that can really run.
But the Steelers coming in 10th on this list is significant. I mean, if you look at that, if the Steelers get the 10th best quarterback play in the league this year.
We'd all take that.
Compared to having the 31st or 32nd what they had last year.
Light years difference.
I mean, this could be a 12 or 13 team win team.
Right, you're a Super Bowl contender with the 10th best.
No doubt about it,
Right, and there's not many teams that say that about. You know, like if the Bucs had the 10th best quarterback play, are they a contender? I mean, are they better than the Niners and the Chiefs and those type of teams? I don't know. You know, like I don't think their defense is to that level, you know?
Yeah,
so,
but if you look at these, it's no, like, okay, Chiefs, Ravens, Saints, Seahawks, Bucs, Packers, Cowboys, Texans, Colts, Steelers. If you look at that top 10, you have to look at all those teams and say they're a contender to some level.
Right.
Because they're going to get strong quarterback play.
But let's say the Texans don't.
Well, they're not.
They can pick first in the draft.
Yeah, because they don't have the defense to back that up.
Right.
A lot is on Deshaun Watson this year.
It's so much on him now.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there's some teams like that that are too quarterback dependent too.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't like if I were gonna throw two teams out of that group as Super Bowl contenders, it would be the Colts and the Texans.
Yeah, and people are really excited about the Colts, and they play a very easy schedule. I think Tennessee's the best team in that division.
Yeah, I think they're a more physical team. I think their physicality will win out in that situation, but. Again, if you look at them, if they get mid-level quarterback play, they're a contender.
They can be good.
Because they got the foundation in place. They're going to run the football and play defense.
Like the Niners did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm not breaking any news that if, you know, a big-time quarterback gets hurt, the team's going to suffer dramatically.
No doubt. Yeah.
But there are some that are very quarterback-centric, and, you know, Seattle and Houston really come to mind.
Yep. Yeah. Our Steelers coverage is brought to you by PNC Bank. PNC Bank is the official bank of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take a look around the league a little bit here, see what's happening. We'll catch you up on all that right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, seeing more and more opt-outs. We're seeing guys talking about opting out. And, man, I'll tell you, if you're on the fence at this point, the deadline, I believe, is tomorrow for guys to opt out. And we get news from the Bills that Tre'Davious White is considering opting out of this season. That would be a huge blow,
huge blow. He's clearly their number one. They don't have a number two. They're kind of searching with Josh Norman, giving him another chance. I'd be shocked.
I would be really surprised,
But, hey, if that's what people want to do, I get it. I mean, I would never – but, man, they got high hopes, and he's such a key player. I mean, that would be a tier below a quarterback opting out.
Do you know what I mean? Like a key piece of your defense.
Right. We need you.
Yeah.
Irreplaceable.
Albert Wilson opted out for the
slot receiver.
Yeah. He opted out. That's two receivers for the Miami Dolphins.
It's not the end of the world.
Not the end of the world for them, but
he's a player I've liked though.
Yeah.
I think he's a quality all around slot type of guy. But it's not heartbreaking.
That list is we'll see what the final list looks like tomorrow at some point. We'll talk about that. But Von Miller considered opting out. He actually had COVID-19 in the offseason, was hospitalized for it.
Huh.
And so,
I wonder
he would
if
think
he
since
like,
he's had it, he, you know, he'd be like, no, I'm good.
My thoughts were he had it and didn't like it and doesn't want it again. Like, this is no fun. But it does sound like most people tend to think that you are not immune, but unlikely to get it again, right?
Yeah, it's not nearly, I don't think, as like, I think there have been some instances where people have gotten it because there are different strains of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's much like
exactly.
The flu where, you know, you can get one kind of, you can get the flu shot, but still get the flu because it's another strain.
Because
that
there's different adaptations of it and whatnot. But hopefully none of them do.
The Buccaneers are planning a voluntary bubble during the regular season. Aren't all teams really doing that?
Yeah, I heard the Saints are doing something like that, too. Like they're getting a hotel just for them, nobody else in it, basically own the whole thing. I mean, that's asking a lot from your players not to go home to their families.
That's the thing. When people talk about why doesn't the NFL or Major League Baseball do the bubble?
Mm-hmm.
They're playing seasons.
Right, it's not a playoff.
They're not playing. They're not playing a situation where they're just in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So in the NHL,
they
can do everything in two spot, in two sites, and just you can get it over with in a month or two. They're playing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are going to have to travel. You're going to have to do things, and you're going to have to step outside that bubble at some point. But the teams themselves, the NFL has put a plan in place that essentially has these guys in a bubble for the majority of the day.
See, how about this thought, though? Let's say you're 10-2. Let's bubble it up for the last month in the playoffs. Some kind of stretch run. If nothing's changed in the medical world.
Well, you're still going to have to travel. I mean, you can't be in a bubble and that include travel.
True.
You just can't do it because you can't.
NBA's all in Orlando.
Yeah, unless you hire your own bus drivers and take them on the road with you and include things like that in your bubble and a hotel staff on the road where only these five people were allowed to service our rooms on the road.
We brought them with us.
And we brought them with us. I mean, that's a bubble.
That's a bubble. And there's still holes in that bubble probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask the players to be adults about this. You have to ask them to be professionals about this. Don't do stupid things like the Marlins did and go out to clubs and those kind of things. And the league is asking these guys to do that. And I think, we've talked to a number of the Steelers already, and they've said, look, we want to be professionals about this. And I think Mike Tomlin has hammered this home with them.
Letting your buddy down.
Yeah, you're not only letting yourself down, you're letting the entire team down and putting them at risk if you go out and do this risky behavior. And guess what? If you do it and they find out about it, even if you don't test positive, there could be repercussions.
That too, right.
If you're, you're the fourth, safety or something like that, don't do something stupid that you're not going to be around very long.
Right.
They'll find another for safety.
Ben and Pouncey and Tua could get away with a little more than the last safety type of guy.
But even at that, those guys aren't going to do it because people are going to,
they'll figure it out.
If one of those guys goes to a club or a bar or even a crowded restaurant, people are going to recognize them, and of course, it's going to get out.
Like, I got a picture with Ben, and he's sitting there at the bar sipping a beer or whatever. Like, yeah, obviously.
I mean, they have to, because they're making a lot of money, and there's more involved with this. They have to, first of all, they have to be leaders. They can't be doing that stuff and then expect the other guys not to go out and do those things. And they have a responsibility to each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the coaching angle. Is I even heard someone, and it might even was at the college level or whatever, that every day they would have a new member of the team stand up and say, "Hey, my grandma has these issues. If you break this trust, this is what you're doing to me personally." You know, like, it's kind of a good idea. You know, you bring it on home to everybody. To my point about bubbling up, though, what if the Chiefs are the number one seed? You're going to play at home. Those 2 weeks, I might quarantine my guys.
You could. Yeah. You could a little bit more.
Or before the Super Bowl, those 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, something like that.
Especially in those kind of situations. I mean, when you're talking about the Super Bowl, that's going to be weird this year. I'm going to be interested to see how that works this year because they have media days.
I
can't imagine you're going to do that.
People aren't going to get up on a podium.
You're not going to have a situation where, you know, again, I've been to a number of Super Bowls where every morning there are guys made available and they're sitting at tables and you can go sit and talk to them.
Yeah, it's all random.
That's not going to happen this year. Covering a Super Bowl, I would think they're going to probably limit the number of media
events. Right.
Because what are you actually covering? And if you're not there to cover and talk to guys.
Like, I bet you're not there if the Steelers aren't there.
Probably not. I haven't really talked about it. We haven't gotten that far down the road. We don't know what it looks like yet. But, I mean, I'm kind of the boss here. So
I guess you can kind of figure it out, right?
But I'll talk to my...
You might be there for Hall of Fame stuff or something along those lines.
Potentially or something like that. But who knows? That stuff may not be the same this year. Maybe that'll be done virtually.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that 2 week period, though, will almost be a lot like NBA Orlando, you know, just a total bubble.
Could very well be. And, and you know, if you go, you're not going to have any access to people. You're just going to watch the game.
You may not even get in the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows at that point if everyone's...
We just don't know. And so even, like, for example, teams take care of the media stuff for the wild card games and the divisional round games. The conferences, the league comes in and takes over for the conference championships.
Okay.
And they do all the credentialing and all that stuff.
Yeah, right.
I wonder how that changes potentially this year as well.
Quite a bit.
You know, because, you're talking about that bubble.
They're going to trim it by 80% maybe.
Yeah, and there are media availabilities. There are all kinds of things that you have to do for those games, and I just don't see them happening.
No, I tend to agree with you. You know what else is interesting, too, is we've just seen two of them so far. But these stud college prospects are starting to opt out.
They are
crazy too. There's a corner from VTech and the Bateman kid at Minnesota.
The receiver,
receiver that are both projected as first round picks. You never know, but I think there's going to be a flood of those.
That's going to be really interesting too, as well for the combine.
Oh yeah, right.
Is there going to be a scouting combine this year? What's it going to look like? Now we don't have any real access to the players at the scouting combine, but all 32 teams do.
Sure. Sure.
And they're bringing all those guys together in confined areas from all over the country.
That's a long way away. Hopefully, technology and
I mean, they canceled all the on-campus workouts this year.
This year, right?
You can't go into next year the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't not have a scouting combine and then not have any on-campus workouts. And especially for these guys who don't have any tape to work off of for a year.
I know.
I mean, what are you doing with those guys?
But what if you're a top guy like a Bateman or one of these dudes? I'd have a hard time playing this year. If I like my tape that I've put out the last year or two.
But here's the thing. You can like the tape and you can think, I put out some really good stuff this year. That doesn't mean NFL teams agree with you.
Right. I mean, you better trust
your agent.
Because
guess what? You know, anybody, like any agent that you go to, oh, yeah, you're good. Yeah,
no, you're the best.
You're fantastic. You're the best thing I've ever seen. That's what they're going to tell you. It doesn't mean it's true.
And they'll have friends in the league that'll tell them things like, we think your guy's a first rounder. Okay. But maybe you're the 25th pick, but you could have got up to be the 6th.
Right.
And then the other thing you don't know is, let's say you opt out and you're Bateman and it looks like it's a really good wide receiver class. Again, it does look like it's a really good receiver class. So the other, 10 guys right now at wide receiver think they're first round picks, which means 6 will.
Right.
And you don't
get
to improve
your stock.
What if those
other guys pass you? Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're letting them put good stuff out there. And when in doubt, you're going to lose the tie.
Yes, because they haven't seen you in a couple years.
Right. I mean, the guy that played football last year.
Yeah.
Right. That's tough. But I bet there's a lot more coming.
Could be, and that's going to be interesting. And we've seen the Pac-12 had a group of athletes put out a thing with demands that they want this and that.
Yeah,
I
quite understand all that, but
you know, I don't know how I think they had like 150 signatures or whatever it is. That's still not. I mean, if you're talking about 12 football programs, 150 signatures is less than 10%.
And I think what they were asking for is bazillions of dollars.
Yeah,
it was very, very
good luck with that.
And from what I understood with that, they really should even be petitioning the NCAA, not the conference.
Right.
it's not a conference
decision. Yeah.
Right, right.
So, anyway, I think it's interesting, all the stuff happening.
Yeah,
one more thing. It looks like the 49ers plan to sign Deion Jordan, former first-round draft pick.
Okay. They were rumored to be interested in Zeke Onsa, too.
Yeah.
So I assume they won't now.
Right. You would think they're going to get one or the other. So, it looks like Deion Jordan's that guy.
He's been okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a draft bust who, like a Hayward Bay, reclaimed his career and made something out of whenever he was down and out.
A little bit more than like a Barkevious Mingo.
Yeah, right. Lastly, on that note, too, is some of these teams are gaining cap space with the opt-outs.
The Patriots have gotten a bunch.
They may add some people.
Yeah. But they need a bunch now.
But they need a bunch. I mean, rather.
And they're not going to find. They're not going to find a starting right tackle on the free agent market right now.
No. I wonder. If they knew more about Cam, you could give him a 3-year deal and make it real heavy this year. You know, things like that would be smart.
Well, they can also roll the any cap money that they save over to next year because those guys now that opted out, those contracts are going to toll. They carry over into next year, so maybe the contracts was a little different last year or this year as opposed to next year. So it's
messy,
all interesting stuff, and I got to do some more research on all that to see where that goes. But because this is all new.
We haven't
dealt with this part of it either, but certainly interesting as we watch this stuff all unfold before us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for the Fantasy Football Focus. We'll do that. We still got Bob Labriola coming up in the second hour as well from Steelers.com and Steelers Digest. Plenty more to come here on The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
It is Fantasy Football Focus time. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, I was looking here on RotoWorld, and they have an article on Garbage Time Heroes for 2020.
It's an interesting conversation.
It is an interesting conversation. And if you're a longtime listener to the show, I actually referenced it earlier in the show, a few years ago, Blake Bortles was a Garbage Time Hero.
I had
him that year. I started him. I won my one fantasy league with Blake Bortles as my quarterback because he ended the season with like 32 touchdown passes. And I would be willing to bet 20 of those came in the fourth quarter of games.
Oh, yeah.
After they were down. Every week I'd be sitting there and I'm in the press box. I'll have the Steelers stats up on one side so I can watch what's going on. I'm watching the game, and then I'll have my fantasy stuff up beside that.
To see where points are.
So
course,
I can keep
right,
track of that stuff. And I'd be sitting there, and Blake Bortles would have like 4 points at halftime.
Right. They'd be,
and I'm like,
56 yards
here we go,
or something, right.
And he'd end up the game. He'd have 300 yards and 3 touchdown passes by the end of the game, and they'd lose, 37-21.
Instead of losing by 20, they lost by 10.
Yeah.
Or worse.
Right.
Right.
And he'd have 28 points, and I'm like, well, that wasn't so bad.
Prevent defenses galore.
Yeah.
I mean, from a quarterback perspective, I think you'd want bad defenses. That team like Houston comes to mind.
Yeah.
They're going to allow a lot of points. Not much of a running game, obviously, and frankly, just being on a bad team. And a guy like Bortles is perfect because just thinking about from like an NFL perspective. he's not great at reading coverages and complex things. You're going to get very predictable.
But, yeah, in 2 minutes, yeah, in that fourth quarter when you're up three touchdowns, mm-hmm. you're just going to be a lot of cover two, a lot of cover three.
Right.
Just make it simple.
Deep ball, you know, yeah. Right. Yeah, it doesn't take a lot of reading.
A lot of pitch and catch. Allen Robinson was great that year.
Yeah. I wonder if some of the young guys – I haven't seen this list yet, but I wonder if some of the young quarterbacks like Tua and Burrow will do a lot better – fourth quarter than they do the first three quarters.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see that a lot with guys.
You know, the Bengals have good weapons.
Yeah.
You know.
And so, you know, Matt Ryan comes to mind this year as a guy
yeah.
that.
For sure.
Yeah. Trying to think of who else. Minshew would fall into that category. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about Teddy Bridgewater in that situation, but I feel like they're going to be behind a lot.
Yeah. What about the Giants?
I think he took advantage of that a lot last year. We talked about that when we were talking.
Kind of the poster boy last year.
Yeah, he was that guy last year, and I don't know that it's going to be any better this year. I don't think their defense is going to be better.
And he has good weapons, too.
Yeah, so.
And, you know, it's third and eight, and you scramble and pick up 15 yards. Like, oh, there's a point.
Yeah, they're running. Everybody's running deep down the field, and you just go get a first down.
Mm-hmm, slide. Yeah.
This article on RotoWorld deals with wide receivers.
Okay.
And he mentions three wide receivers.
Obviously, passing game is going to be the key. Here,
yeah.
You know.
You know, he says a plane load of junk time targets did some good for Tyler Boyd last year.
Yeah,
obviously
makes a lot of sense.
DJ
Green not around.
DJ Moore isn't the guy that this year that
yes.
yeah could jump into that.
Remember the game McCaffrey caught like 15 passes.
Yeah. Oh, I had him. Yeah, last year again. Yeah. I'm sitting there and he's got 15 points through
That's
three quarters.
They're
getting killed.
Right.
I'm thinking, oh, they may pull him out of this game.
They probably should have.
And right. they just kept throwing the ball, and the next thing you know, he's got 40 points. I'm like,
huh. Easy throws.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder, along the Panther example, if a good quarterback goes down, you know, and you don't have a Steeler-like defense, you have a Panther-like defense, I might want the safest option in the passing game.
Yeah.
If that's their back, their tight end, their slot receiver, whoever that is, like Tyler Boyd last year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, right.
Another guy he mentioned from last year, Sterling Shepard, averaged the 25th most fantasy points per game among wideouts when games that he missed some time with injury.
Yeah.
But when he played, because they were behind so much, he was 25th in points per game.
That makes sense, too.
You know,
I mean, he's a good player in the slot, easier throws, can beat single coverage.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
right?
That's what you're looking for in these situations. And he brings up three examples of guys, the first one being DJ Chark. His ADP right now is 20. He's the number one receiver on that Jaguars team.
Mm-hmm.
And he points out, in Jaguars wins last year, which there weren't many.
Not many, but still.
But Chark averaged 6.9 targets per game, 4.2 receptions, 57 yards, and 0.4 touchdowns.
Okay, that's not so great for a fantasy day.
No.
It's okay. You know, but yeah.
In Jaguars losses, 8.3 targets, wow. So almost an extra target and a half per game. 5.2 receptions per game, so that's an extra reception,
extra catch, yeah.
72 yards,
wow.
An extra 15 yards per game, and 0.6 touchdowns.
Wow, that's a noticeable difference.
Yeah, and if you're getting that every week from DJ Chark, if you're getting five catches for 72 yards and a touchdown every other week,
yeah,
and that's solid wide receiver two stuff.
And they're 2-14, and 14
you don't
of
care.
Them, or you get that,
yeah.
You know, right, that's what you want.
Yeah.
I think there's a misconception with him because he's fast and long that he's like a – Ted Ginn, he's more like an A.J. Green.
Yeah.
I think he's a complete guy. Because some of those pure deep threats, the DeSean Jackson, Ted Ginns, I don't think they would be good garbage time guys.
No, because
that's
they're
exactly what they're taking away.
Yeah, that's what they're taking away from you, for sure. Terry McLaurin's another guy that he looks at here.
I bet his
ADP
numbers,
is wide receiver 24. He's the clear number one guy on a bad Washington team that's going to be behind.
Those two are going to end up on my team a lot.
A lot, yeah.
I like them a lot.
You're looking for a solid number, low-level number two, high-level you know, three. That's what you're looking for. Guys,
he's not a flash in the pan either.
Yeah,
he's
guys
really
off of bad football teams. I'll take those guys. The number one receiver off of a bad team, even if it's a bad quarterback,
mm-hmm.
I'll take that over the number two or number three guy, for example. These guys, in some cases, might be drafted after, you know, two of the three Cowboy receivers are gone.
Yeah, right.
Or
in that neighborhood.
Yeah, somewhere,
right.
Yeah. I would rather have the number one guy.
Yes, as opposed to a strong two.
Unless it's Calvin Ridley or someone like that. Or,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, a real
Godwin or
yeah. those type of dudes.
But otherwise, I want the number one guy off of what I think is going to be a bad team.
And if I'm the head coach of those teams, I mean, especially like Washington, and you saw this from Arizona a lot last year, let's get our young quarterback some completions. You know? I mean, let's just make it easy on him. We're not going to win this thing, but let's build something to build off of. That's McLaurin.
Yeah. By the same token, Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
ADP is wide receiver 29. They also have Preston Williams there. And
he, Williams, he can get cheap.
Yeah. He had an ACL injury in November last year. Preston Williams.
Oh, when Williams got
Preston
hurt.
Williams,
sorry, right.
Yeah. So prior to Preston Williams going out, Devontae Parker was averaging 6.5 targets per game, 3.5 catches, 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
After Williams went out, 9.5 targets per game, which is wide receiver one type stuff, 5.5 catches, 100.3 yards, and 0.62 touchdowns.
Wow.
That's wide receiver
one.
Yeah.
Stuff, right.
So which, okay, his ADP right now is 29.
Mm-hmm.
Which means
there's a lot of good receivers.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which means he's essentially a low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3. I'm buying on Devontae Parker.
Oh, I like him.
I don't know what you're going to get out of Preston Williams early in the season.
Williams is going to return
at some point,
and they like him a lot. And
they've had two receivers opt out already.
That's true.
He's going to be the guy.
Parker's a go-up-and-get-it type guy. Jump ball receiver, physical. And I think you want Fitzpatrick to be your starter if you have Parker.
Yes.
Because he'll chuck it up.
He'll just throw him the football.
They'll be losing a lot.
Especially early in the season before they go to Tua at some point. I want Devontae Parker on my team, and he's going to be – you're going to draft – you're going to get him – if you get him at wide receiver 29 – he's going to outplay that position.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, if he's playing like wide receiver 12 early in the season, then I'm flipping him.
Then you flip him, yeah.
Yeah.
Take a profit. And Williams, I think they like him a lot, though.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, if you can get him in the same conversation as wide receiver 50, I'm in with that, too.
Yeah. I do want to – again, you're not going to get to see him in the preseason, which would be nice.
That's bad, right.
Coming back off of an ACL injury, I don't know what you're going to get there.
Trust beat reporters and stuff. That stinks for fantasy this year, too.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, and we talked about that last week. Some quick news and notes from around the fantasy football world.
Okay.
Bruce Arians says that Ronald Jones is the main guy in the Bucs' backfield, although he said things like that last year, too, and then would bench him in the first quarter.
You've been around Bruce, though. I mean – he seems like he doesn't lie much.
I think he says what he thinks at the time.
Okay.
Right, I don't know that he's going to necessarily think that, you know, September 14th
week
5, or
right,
week,
you know,
whatever it may be.
They signed McCoy. I mean, they did sign Shady McCoy.
That doesn't...
It didn't move the needle for me at all, except for it didn't exactly give a ring endorsement to Jones as the number one.
Yeah, I agree. Kenny Galladay was activated off the reserve COVID-19 list, so that's good news for him.
I think Stafford and Minshew were, too.
Yeah,
I've heard a couple of these guys were false tests, false positives.
Well, what happens with that? You take three tests.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you take the first test and it's negative.
Okay.
Take the second test, it's negative. Well, then the third one comes back positive for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And now you're on the COVID-19 list until they got to keep testing
again.
Yeah.
Okay.
They all three tests have to come back negative before. That's why they do three tests.
I get you. I mean, I know these tests are brand new, obviously. But that scares me for the regular season.
Yeah.
I mean, if these tests aren't 100% foolproof.
Well, again, as well, my wife's in the medical field, and you know, these tests that they have, because it's just testing for COVID virus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, COVID virus causes the common cold, too, I think, like 40% of the time.
Oh, people have had COVID for years, right?
Yeah, this is nothing new. It's just a different strain of it. Mm-hmm. You can test positive.
It would still pop up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marquise Brown says he has gained 23 pounds this offseason and is up to 180 pounds after playing at 157 pounds as a rookie.
That's a little alarming. I was going to say, I can't believe he's 157.
He said he played... Or he was at 166 pounds in the pre-draft process and reported at 144 pounds as a freshman in Oklahoma.
I know he's little and skinny, but that's tiny.
I don't know that I want him at a – I mean, I guess, yes, physically you want him at 180 pounds to put up with the pounding that he's going to take. But you put on 23 pounds, you're not going to be as fast. I'm sorry.
No way. I mean, when you originally said that, I'm like, oh, that's bad. You know, when 23 pounds, I'm like, but what's he going to be now, like 200? Is he going to be like 190? So I was startled that he added so much, especially a speed player that's had immense success at his usual size at the college level. I could see bulking up, and his injuries have hurt him. But that's dramatic. And the fact that he played at 157?
That would be – imagine a 180-pound receiver coming in. I gained 23 pounds in the offseason. Now you're 205-pound receiver.
Right, right, right.
That's a big difference.
Right. And I don't think he's sitting around eating cheeseburgers getting fat, but I mean, right. He's adding muscle to him. But he's got to be slower.
I would think so, yeah.
Right. And I don't love hearing that.
Yeah, I'm not –
I also don't love hearing that he was 157.
Yeah.
I would have guessed he was 175.
Travis Benjamin has opted out for the 49ers.
Oh, did he?
And while you would say, okay, that's just Travis Benjamin. Okay, Deebo Samuel, we don't know what's going on with him.
Well, he's hurt. I mean, he's going to miss
out. We don't know when he's going to be back.
Sure.
That's what I meant by that.
Right.
Richie James is dealing with a wrist injury as well for them. We talked about Brandon Ayuk yesterday about how it looks like he's going to be a starter.
I think he's a starter now.
Well,
yeah.
If Travis Benjamin's out, yeah, he is going to be a starter somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. Is that better for Kittle or worse? Maybe better.
I don't know, because I think you can kind of more blank. You could, are you?
He's going to get more coverage.
Are you scared of it until those other guys prove that they can beat you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting two guys on Kittle, and
for sure.
Yeah, I'm just saying you're not gonna beat us with this guy.
Keep an eye on Jalen Hurd.
Yeah, he's a guy to watch.
I hope they don't bring Deebo Samuel back too early too, and then he's hobbling around all year and shouldn't have been out there.
This is an interesting one. Raiders offensive coordinator Greg Olsen said the team is planning for third-round pick Lynn Bowden to take snaps at quarterback.
Yeah. Think Taysom Hill. He may throw two balls all year or five balls all year. But that didn't come as a surprise to me, because he is an athlete that Kentucky asked to play quarterback because their quarterback situation was so bad. He's a runner. I mean, he would tell you he's not an athletic quarterback. He was a running back / receiver playing quarterback at the college level. His drafting worried me a little, thinking he might be the third down back instead of Jacobs, because they lost DeAndre Washington. Rashard's still there too. But I kind of hope he's just Taysom Hill, because Taysom Hill hurts Kamara a little, but not that bad.
Hurts Breeze as much
as
anything.
Hurts Breeze, right.
You know, they get the Breeze takes him all the way down the field, and they get inside the 10, there, and all of a sudden they trot out. Yeah, like, what are you
doing?
He
does score some touchdowns every year.
He kind of comes in and siphons off some touchdowns from somebody,
mm-hmm.
Whether that be a quarterback, whether that be a receiver, or if they just have him run the football.
Right.
Those are the ones you hate.
It is annoying. You're right.
Is Taysom Hill somebody that should be on a fantasy roster? We've never talked about that.
I just don't think he plays enough snaps. I mean, he doesn't score that many fantasy points.
He doesn't. But let's say you're in a situation, you get bye weeks, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You can slide him. The other thing is where's
he out there a lot?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting 25 to 30 snaps a game, in some games.
If Jameis Winston didn't exist? Like, imagine if Breeze got hurt and he was the man, he'd be a top five quarterback.
Even if Jameis Winston was playing, they would probably
he'd boost him up again.
Yeah, they would probably they would probably give him increased snaps at quarterback.
I would think.
They would probably still play him at wide receiver, still let him run the ball some. I mean,
there's been rumors that they think he can be the successor.
Yeah.
And if Breeze retires and Winston wants big money next year and they hand him the reins, I'm drafting him high.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're
he's going to run a ton.
Yeah, he's going to run.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting thing. You know, we'll see what happens if the Raiders happen to do that as well.
These super flex leagues I'm in that are deeper rosters, dynasties, he's in all of them. You know, I mean, he's in the league.
It just depends on what he counts as in your rules. That's the thing.
I think he's mostly listed as a quarterback.
In which case, he's not going to be as valuable as other quarterbacks. But if he's listed as a wide receiver and he also does some quarterback stuff, where he does some, you know, whatever.
Well, that's the beauty of him. Some of those guys, like, I can use him as a tight end.
Yeah,
and they
hand
him the ball 10 times a game.
That was like Jalen Samuels, a couple of years, his rookie year, got listed on some fantasy sites as a tight end because he ran a couple of snaps at tight end at the combine. Never played tight end at all in college. People still ask me that, by the way.
I know. It makes me insane.
He's never been a tight end in his entire career.
Right,
blocking
right.
is not what he does.
No.
He catches the football.
Yes.
And you could play him as a tight end when, you know, so if you had him at tight end, the game that he had against the Patriots, he had a monster game.
Right. As tight ends go, right.
Yeah.
That's a huge advantage. Or any player that might take a snap or two at quarterback is a huge boost.
Right.
You know, one some receiver that's going to trot back there and wildcat.
For example,
and
the game that the game, yeah, the game that that Samuels had last year where they played against the Bengals where he's playing wildcat and he ends up with, you know, 60 yards passing because he's flipping the ball forward, you know, eight times.
Exactly. It's a little bit of a cheat code.
Yeah. Anyways, look for those kind of guys. They're always good to stash on your roster, especially especially
deep
if you're
leagues and, and COVID.
If you're playing best ball too,
right.
Those are guys to get. Anyways, that's going to do it for the Fantasy Football Focus. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. We'll be back right after this with Bob Labriola here on Steelers Nation Radio.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Of course, as we are every Wednesday, we are joined now by our good friend Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. And Bob, we should be having conversations right now on a nightly basis at Sharky's.
We're the pier.
Actually, today we would be getting ready for the first. We'd be getting ready for the first Steelers preseason game had nothing happened, because we'd be heading to Canton to watch the Hall of Fame game
tomorrow.
Yeah, and then the inductions would be what?
Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah. So this would have been a big weekend for the Steelers, and of course, as it is, the big news for the Steelers this week. It's still big news, is that Ben Roethlisberger got back on the football field. We talked with Mike Pursuta a lot about this, and he said, I haven't seen any of the videos of Ben actually completing any of these passes. You see him throw them, and then you see a guy at the other end. Two different camera angles. Well, if you watch the video that the Steelers put out yesterday, they actually showed some of those completions. They showed him throwing the football to actual guys, what are you hearing about him, Bob? What are you seeing in regards to Ben? It looks good from my end.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, really, I not that I'm a you know, a throwing guru or anything, but you know, it's certain you watch him, you know, his motion, his delivery, and because he doesn't have a helmet on or anything, you can kind of see his face too, and in all of those throws. He doesn't seem to be in any pain. He seems to be smooth. It's fluid. I mean, Dale, you do a lot of baseball coaching, so you're probably better to speak on that than I am. But certainly his motion looks normal. He doesn't, you know, he's not grimacing or anything. And the one thing he did say on that Zoom call, what was it, yesterday, was that he did a lot of throwing on Monday, and then woke up Tuesday and it didn't hurt. To me, that was the biggest news in terms of, you know, something to get excited about, since, you know, really what they're doing at Heinz Field is still kind of phase one of a typical off-season program. So, you know, it's not like there's anything really significant happening in terms of, you know, real football. But in terms of Ben Roethlisberger and his progress, I think that, you know, that's pretty significant, because you know, right after the surgery, before really anybody knew too much about any of it, the hope was he would be ready for OTAs. And certainly, you know, where we are now, I think he would have made that. And certainly where he is, you know, today in terms of how his arm feels and how it's actually operating, you know, I think all, you know, as Mike Tomlin would say, the air is pointing up. And everything seems to be on schedule, which, you know, is nothing short of critical for this team.
Yeah, the one thing that I noticed on the video today, or that was put out yesterday of Roethlisberger, and Deontay Johnson said today that Roethlisberger was letting the ball rip a little bit and throwing hard. But the one thing I did notice, and this was something Matt and I talked about, is the Steelers were having guys kind of pretend to rush at him. And so he was kind of having to move around and maybe throw off his, you know, tiptoes or throw off of bad angles and stuff like that. And again, there was none of that grimacing or anything like that. They were kind of simulating some game-type circumstances for him, and he was finding the windows and making the throws as well without any it didn't appear to be any issues.
Right, and you know move, not scrambling but moving around in the pocket is important, certainly to Roethlisberger's game, maybe even more important now as he reaches the ripe old age of 38. Because I don't think you're going to see him doing a lot of running around.
No. But he was making arm throws. It wasn't like he was just standing back there,
right,
setting up, okay, I got my base under me and I'm going to throw the football. He was throwing stuff off the back foot, doing things like that. And again, not an issue for him.
Right. As you said, arm throws. And then again, I'm going to keep going back to this because I really cannot underestimate the significance of this. You know, Monday was his big throwing day. Yesterday, was supposed to be, like half, and then today might have been virtually, a day off, so to speak.
Right.
But, after the first heavy day of throwing, because veterans couldn't report really till Monday, after the first heavy day of throwing, he wakes up the next morning with no pain. And so those are the kinds of things you're looking for, because if you don't have that, I think you're risking a setback. And to me, from what the way it has been described to me, not this, just with this injury, but with any injury, being a little bit behind the prognosis is not as bad as having a setback. So no setback, and as I said, to me, that's the best news.
The other thing that stood out to me that wasn't as talked about after he spoke was, I'm really worried about conditioning across the league. No preseason. And he basically said, I'm leaner than I've ever been. I'm in the best shape I've been in a long time. I thought that was great news. I mean, I think everybody's going to struggle those first couple of weeks with conditioning.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think that there's a little – I'm not saying that that's not good news. But, I think that his, particular position, what he is going to be asked to do, I don't know that you want Ben Roethlisberger to be in many situations where he's pulling a hamstring. Meaning, really.
Running 20 yards down the field. That's not.
I'm not interested in that. throw it out of bounds, give yourself up, whatever, and let's go back to the next play because it's just not that important. Whatever is going on that might make him think, I got to run 15 yards and get to the sideline. No, you don't. Punt. Whatever. I don't care. So, to me, it's with him, it's all about his arm. Certainly, the fact that he looks trim is good news, and him saying that he's at his lightest weight in 13 years, I think he said something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. But when I think about injuries that could be a problem for the Steelers and for other NFL teams, I'm thinking about hamstrings, groins, pulled muscles, those kind of things. And, if it's not his arm, really, there's nothing – I'm talking about Ben. If it's not his arm, there should be no reason for him to be doing anything that would risk some of those other things I just mentioned.
No, I agree completely. And I think, when you look at Ben Roethlisberger coming back to the Steelers, Matt and I talked about – Cynthia Freeland put out – an article on NFL.com earlier today ranking the quarterback rooms around the league as we head into training camp. And she has the Steelers 10th. And I know a lot of people would look at that and go, well, okay, Ben Roethlisberger carries a lot of weight there. But it's also about those backup guys. And the Steelers have three backups on the roster right now who all have starting experience in the NFL. And I don't know. Matt Canada was asked about that the other day and referenced it. That's a great thing. They're not going to be in a situation, even if Roethlisberger doesn't play, and you knock on wood with that, but even if he doesn't play a game, let's say he misses a game this year, it's not going to be like last year where they're trotting a guy out there who has never started an NFL game in his life.
Right, and the other thing is, and this is my opinion, the way I would kind of configure the depth chart there, I think you also want a situation where you're not asking the rest of your offense to undergo any drastic changes of style or anything. In other words, you don't want to go from, Ben to
RG3.
Joshua Dobbs. RG3, again, you know, that kind of thing, where all of the things you've been practicing and using, say, in the first six games, now none of that is really the strength of the guy you're putting onto the field for the seventh game, and so you got to do a lot of reconfiguring, reteaching, maybe, you know, putting some plays in the game plan that maybe you haven't run all to that point. And so, you know, that creates a stress on just the whole group. And, you know, I think that was one of the things that kind of bothered the Steelers last year. And the reason was is, you know, you open the season thinking, you know, your starting quarterback's going to play. I mean, it wasn't anything like you had a training camp or a couple of preseason games or any of that stuff to, you know, figure out who you were going to play, to what extent, and what you could do with that guy, you know, before you were in regular season mode. You didn't, you know, in regular season practice is not like training camp practice or, you know, any of those kind of things. I mean, you're actually trying to work on, you know, specific plan for the specific opponent.
Right. That's what people don't understand, that you got three practices before you play your next game. If it's a regular Sunday to Sunday schedule, if it's a Sunday to Thursday schedule, you got even less than that.
And again, I mean, you're not just, it's not just working with the quarterback. I mean, you know, the offensive line isn't worrying about necessarily, you know, what the quarterback can or can't do. They're worrying about who they got to block. You know, what the opponent's defensive front is going to pose to them as both as individuals and as a unit, so that, you know, they can get their job done and help the offense move. So, you know, the kinds of practices, what is done in those kind of practices versus preseason practices or camp practices, is totally different. I mean, you're not doing a whole lot of working on fundamentals or technique and stuff because, you know, that was all honed, you know, in the past. And so, yeah, so hopefully, you know, as the Steelers are going through all of this, I'm not saying they're necessarily preparing for bend or miss games, but I think that now that you have a better idea of what you have, you know, down the depth chart there, you know, you can kind of be better prepared for, you know, the eventuality or, you know, whatever, if he's got to miss a game.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear. You hope, you know, the backup situation is better than it was a year ago just because they do have that experience. But I think it's pretty true across the roster, too. I mean, unlike most teams, I can't think of many rookies on this squad that they're counting on for snaps or that they need snaps from, I mean, in any way.
No, right. I mean, and certainly there are guys that they need snaps from. But again, as you mentioned, none of them are rookies, and none of them are in a position where they haven't done it before. You know, they need snaps from Devin Bush. They need snaps from Terrell Edmonds. They need snaps from James Conner and Juju. But it's not like those guys haven't been in that situation previously, both in the NFL and with the Steelers. And so that's a better situation than, say, the Ravens, you know, and I'm speculating here, with Patrick Queen, their linebacker.
Absolutely.
That they drafted in the first round, hoping that he can be a, you know, something akin to a Devin Bush kind of player, a three down, you know, inside linebacker for them to help make up for the, because they, I thought the Ravens suffered last year not having C.J. Mosley, who left as a free agent to the Jets. So, yeah, you're not in that kind of situation, I don't think, anywhere, really, and that's a good start, certainly.
Yeah, it is, and Bob, I think that, you know, when you look at what the Steelers bring back, what they have here, they may be in a better situation because of things like that than a lot of other teams, because everybody's working under those same rules that you got 14 padded practices to get this thing ready to go.
Right, and you know, it's going to be interesting to me. Two things. First of all, you know, now we're also hearing some other teams talking about, because there's no preseason games, they're going to introduce tackling to training camp. Mike Tomlin introduced tackling to Steelers training camp some summers ago, three, four now. I can't even.
It might be five or six, actually.
Okay. But so, you know, it's going to be interesting to me to see if, I certainly believe he's going to continue having some tackling in training camp. But does he expand it with no preseason games? Is it more of a, you know, young guy emphasis with, you know, live tackling? How does he work that in? And then I really don't know the answer to this. I mean, you can talk to, you know, guys like Tunch and Wolf, and they will say that there's going to be more injuries this year season than previous seasons because the players' bodies haven't been conditioned to, you know, real football, blocking, tackling, those kind of things. You know, it's a country club at training camp and all that. We've heard those guys whine and complain about that for years now. But, you know, I don't know if that's true or, you know, are guys actually fresher, you know, going into the season and you might see fewer injuries of a certain kind. I really don't know what to expect. And the other thing is, and this kind of makes fans crazy, I think a lot of it's luck.
Sure.
There's really not a whole lot that you can really hardcore prepare for to prevent separated shoulders and sprained knees and
guys falling on your ankle, that
sure.
kind of stuff.
Right.
And some are more prone than others, you know.
Right. Or, you know, you have a guy dive on you're a center and your right guard, you know, dives on your right leg and on the eighth play of the, you know, whatever, and you're out for the year, those kind of things. So, to me, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch and, excuse me, and, you know, I'll every lucky charm I own, and I'll try and find a couple more, you know, I'll have them all lined up either around my TV if we have to watch from home or around my seat in the press box if we actually get to go to these games, you know, or whatever, and all you can do is hope for the best.
Yeah, one thing just to finish up with here with you, Bob, and our guest is Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. One of the things we've talked a lot and we've heard a lot of talk about, well, the offenses are going to be sloppy. There's going to be some sloppy play there. Matt and I are of the belief that where you're really going to see the most sloppiness in these early season games is on special teams.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are going to be so many young guys out there running down the field for the first time. Maybe some of these guys have never even done it before. Let alone doing it at the NFL level, that there could be some real sloppiness there on special teams.
That very well could be the case. Certainly a lot of blocks in the back, you know, those kind of things.
Guys what getting I'm, out of their lanes. I mean, it's just
– Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, what I'm kind of on guard for, you know, are just blown assignments. On defense, you know, turning a guy loose, half the secondary playing one coverage, the other half playing another coverage – you know, those kinds of things. Offensive line, not knowing how to handle a twist. You know, are we zoning it or manning it or, you know, those kind of things. Just the kinds of mental errors that result in turning guys loose. You know, either their defense at your quarterback or your defense on their receivers. You know, those kind of things that lead to either disastrous big losses for your offense or maybe even easy touchdowns for your defense. And those are the same kind of things I think you might see on special teams because, as you mentioned, if guys don't stay in their lanes, if they don't pursue properly, you know, as Bear Bryant always said, you know, the next thing you know, that you're hearing the fight song. So, you know, you don't want any of that. And in those situations, you know, maybe the block in the back is not as bad, you know, as some of those other things. But, yeah, I definitely think that sloppiness is going to be an issue early. And, you know, I don't know that there's really any way you can eliminate it. You want to try and minimize it, you know, and keep it from being the disastrous kind of sloppiness as opposed to false start, you know, or as I said, blocking in the back, those kind of things.
Yeah, for sure. Our guest has been Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. We appreciate Bob stopping by as he does every Wednesday. At some point, we're actually going to get to see Bob live and in person. I'm beginning to believe he's just a voice. You're like the
incoming
message from the big giant head here, Bob. That's what we got.
Either that or the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, one of those things. But we appreciate your time, Bob. We're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to Drive. We'll be back to finish up the show right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24-7 home of the Black and Gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We want to thank Bob Labriola for stopping by, as he does every Wednesday. Always good to hear from Labs. Hope he is doing well. Sounds like he is. And we always appreciate him dropping in on us here. I put the question out on Twitter earlier, see if anybody had anything they wanted us to answer here the air. And we did get a question from Alan Wedsworth at A. Wedsworth. Alan asks, how do you see Cam Sutton and Justin Lane being utilized this year?
Hmm.
And that's an interesting question in that they're kind of both – Sutton more than Lane. Lane's strictly an outside guy.
Right. They're both a little buried, though.
Yeah, they're both a little buried behind the starters right now. Sutton, of course, plays a lot in the dime. He sees some time there. Lane, could he push for time in that dime defense?
I don't know. I mean,
he's kind of long and lean.
Right. I mean, I think he's an outside corner. And unless an injury to the top two corners happens, I don't know that you'll see him unless he just blows their doors off in
right.
camp.
Like, yeah.
He's too good to not get on the field. Because, therefore, Hayden or Nelson would have to probably do something
bump inside.
Different. Right.
And Nelson has done that before in the past.
Yeah.
Could you see some situations where they did that and used Nelson kind of inside in the dime mm-hmm. and put Lane on the field?
I mean, I think, and I'd have to see more of it, but I think Nelson's better on the outside than
I think, and he prefers to play out there as
sure.
well. Yeah,
and he just excelled doing it last
yeah.
year.
Yeah, I mean, you want what you don't want to do is start moving guys around because you've got you know what Nelson is on the outside. So
exactly.
The question then that you have to ask yourself: are you better with Sutton inside and Nelson outside, or Lane outside and Nelson inside? Are you weakening, you know, two things to get better? I don't know.
Injuries aside, I think to see Lane steady snaps would have to be he's so good. We're going to compromise
keep him off the field.
Nelson
yeah.
a little bit, and Hilton goes to the bench and nickel.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And that's asking a lot. Again, that. You fear you could get worse in two spots, or Nelson would be the lesser player than when he's outside.
Yeah, but it is interesting that we're talking about depth at cornerback.
Right.
For the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Sure.
And
Hayden's not going to play forever. And
He's
right.
not, but those guys are both under contract for next year
right,
as well.
Right.
But you've got Cam Sutton there. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end mm-hmm. of the year. You got Justin Lane, who you drafted in the third round last year. They still have very high hopes for him. Actually, both of these guys, third-round draft picks.
Right, they're substantial.
Yeah.
Know, day two picks.
Sutton's gotten playing time. Sutton has gotten – I thought he played well last year.
I don't think they're down on him at all.
No, not at
like
all.
That. Right.
People look at that and say, well, Cam Sutton's a wasted draft pick, or Justin Lane's a wasted draft pick.
No.
I don't think so. You have to have
both dress on game day if they played right now.
You have to have depth at the cornerback position
sure.
in this league. Hayden and Nelson are probably, you know, if you get 14 games starting out of each of those guys this year, they've done their job. That's what you at least that.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah,
yeah that
sure.
would be fantastic. So, you know, if one of them or both of them miss time, you're going to need somebody to step in and play. I mean, when Cam Sutton had to play Joe Hayden's first year here as a rookie, you know, he came off of the IR. They brought him back, and Joe Hayden broke his leg. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, here's Cam Sutton out there, and he's facing A.J. Green the next week. You know, and they're going
right.
to test
oh,
you.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone in the secondary is going to stay healthy. You did add Riley, and you had mentioned before that signing, if Minkah were to go down, heaven forbid, maybe that would be Sutton. You know, he has some deep safety experience. I wonder
he's
if
he's a valuable guy. He's
going to play.
You have to have a guy like that on your roster. Mm-hmm. It used to be William Gay was that guy. Like, yeah. Okay, he can play outside, he can play inside. If you have an injury at safety, he can slide to safety for you. Is it great? You know, you're going to get top high level safety play out of him? No, but he's going to get you in and out of a game.
You're right, and he's your sixth defensive back anyway.
Right.
You probably know the percentage off the top of your head of dime again.
19%,
which is a lot of snaps.
Yeah.
Some games it would be 30% against four wide teams.
Absolutely,
and, you know, things like that, too. So he's going to play.
Or if you're winning by a bunch, you know.
And he's good on special teams.
Yeah.
Lane proved he was good on special teams. I guess my question is, let's say Hayden or Nelson miss time. Could Sutton go over Lane as the outside corner? Would that be a
Well, here's the thing right now. Justin Lane's on the COVID list.
Well, I'm assuming like,
you know, 10, right? Let's assume at some point he comes back, but, you know, he's going to be a second-year player.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen him in any of the offseason stuff, neither has the coaches. You know, they saw him in practice last year, but I think they would feel more comfortable at this point with Sutton out there than Lane, perhaps.
I would think, but I think Lane's more prototypical for the outside corner.
Yes, absolutely.
You know
I mean, he gives you the length. He gives you the athleticism that you're looking for there. Not that Sutton's a bad athlete.
But he's more slot, middle of the field.
Yeah, I mean, Lane is 6'1", and Sutton's 5'11".
I mean, you drafted him to play one of two positions on the field,
yeah.
An outside the numbers corner.
Yeah.
And he's done nothing to hurt his stock.
No, he has not. And again, you need that depth there. I mean, if you look at – you don't know that guys are injury prone or anything like that, but Joe Hayden has missed time
over the course of
his career with this or that, or, you know, it just happens.
People are going to miss time.
People are going to miss time, and you have to have depth there if you're going to be a good football team. You can't be running Antoine Blake out there.
Yeah, it's encouraging, though. I mean, and a lot of analytics nerds will tell you, when in doubt, draft a corner. You know, like it's a position you never want. I'll always take another.
And again, I don't think either one of those guys are bad football players. I know the Steelers – well, Kevin Colbert can't draft cornerbacks. They didn't spend a lot of premium picks on cornerbacks.
Back in the day, they didn't at all.
If you're taking a fourth-round corner or you're taking a sixth-round corner and they don't hit, that's the norm.
Well, that's how the defense was designed, too.
Yeah.
That was a corner – they cut corners a corner. You know, you got to cut corners somewhere.
Yeah, so, you know, I think if you're spending third-round picks, you're spending second-round picks. Senquez Golson was a – that was a freaky thing.
No, right.
That was a freaky thing that happened. You know, you'd like to hit on a first round corner, but again, you draft an Artie Burns, you know, 25th overall, and there's five corners taken ahead of him. Mm-hmm. You're getting the sixth best cornerback in the draft.
No, and that one didn't work out.
You know,
I mean, that's the proof's in the pudding on that one. But no, I think it's a nice situation now, and I've often talked about how the depth on defense worries me. Not in that area.
I'm not worried at cornerback at all.
No,
neither am I. But anyways, that is going to do it for our show today. Stay tuned right here. Wes Euler and Arthur Motes picking up the slack here. As soon as we are done, they will keep us going here with our wall-to-wall Steelers coverage on Steelers Nation Radio. For my partner, Matt Williamson, I'm Dale Lally. We want to thank Jacob here on site keeping us on the air as well. And we want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.